Thank you, Pastor. Love you. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Make sure I don't fall here. I played a basketball game last night. I'm kind of sore today. We did, actually. Thank you. God is good. And all the time? Gosh. God is good. I need a drink of water. Can I have a drink of water? If you're going to turn in your Bibles, turn your Bibles to the book of Haggai. The Haggai. right after Zephaniah. You got it, all right. Lord, I just come before you. I thank you for this opportunity we have tonight to learn your word, Father. And Father, to take the word in and to take it to the streets, Lord, and take it out into our lives, wherever that may be. Lord, I just thank you for what you do in Holy Spirit, quicken our hearts and quicken our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to be reading out of the book of Haggai tonight. Lord, I put it in my heart to read some scripture and then look at it. there's 3 points that we're going to make tonight and out of Haggai, and let's just read it. Haggai chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 2. But before I read, I guess the book of Haggai is the second shortest book in the Old Testament. But you know what? It communicates the same message that every other book does. Amen? How many of you have read Haggai? Okay, a couple of you. All right. If you haven't, I encourage you to read. We're going to read half of it today. The message in Haggai is to put first things first. Amen? Put first things first. And it was written to the people today, like today, like us today. I believe that it was written for people like today. Not necessarily the faces that you see around you tonight, but for the faces that we see outside of this church. And if we read and believe the sign that's in front of that doorway, believe the word and take it to the streets, I believe that we have to take this message right here tonight and take it to where we're at. Amen? And take it to where we're at. Who would say in here that God must be first? God must be first, a couple of you. Other ones will pray for you. Haggai was sent to help God's people because their priorities got shifted. Their priorities got out of whack, right? And I believe sometimes that happens to us. More often than we believe or more often than we'd like to say actually happens. With that being said, Haggai chapter 1, verse 2 through 9 is what we're going to be reading. It says this. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. The people are saying, the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of my Lord. Then the Lord sent this message through the prophet Haggai. Why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? Verse 5. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Look at what's happening to you. You have planted much but harvest little. You eat but are not satisfied. You drink but are still thirsty. You put on clothes but cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Look at what's happening to you. And verse 8 says, now go up into the hills, bring down timber, and rebuild my house. Then I will take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. Verse 9 is the culminating verse here. You hope for rich harvests, but they were poor, and when you brought your harvest home, I blew it away. Why? Because my house lies in ruins, says the Lord of Heaven's armies. while all of you are busy building your own fine houses. Haggai spoke this message to the Jews who had returned to Jerusalem after living in captivity in Babylon. And if you recall, Babylon had destroyed the Jerusalem and Solomon's temple. You go through that 70 years earlier. And when the Jews returned from exile, they faced the task of rebuilding. So the first returnees made preliminary attempts to clear the debris, lay the groundwork, lay the foundation of the second temple. They started it, but never finished. Right? They even asked the Samaritans to help them, but then the Jews refused. The Samaritans offered, "Hey, we can help you," but the Jews said, "No." The Samaritans, after that, then the story goes on, that threatened the workers and sent some men to Persia to lobby against the Jews, and which then stopped their work on the temple. Years passed, and Jerusalem came to life, and homes were built, and stores opened, there was trade, and there was commerce, there was, right, a new Walmart, Kmart went out of business. A new shoe store came, and new sandal store. Anyway, fields were planted, crops were harvested, and life happens, right? Life happens. Life began. Their life, the Jews' life, began to look like normal life. And they got used to life without the temple. The foundations that they had built for the temple were overgrown because, well, nobody went there. Nothing was going on with that temple. It was just a foundation that was left wasted. It'd be like if we went to build a house or a church, and we had, yes, we're going to build a church. Yes, or we're going to build this. We're going to build that. God told us to do this, and God helped us get out of captivity, and God helped us do this, and God helped, and we're gonna worship Him, and we're going to build this thing for Him, and we're going to do this for Him, and we build a foundation, and we stop. We stop because, you know what? I need to do this, or I need to do this other thing, or I need to do that other thing. But God told me to do this, but I have to do these other things first. That's what it'd be like. It stood as a reminder to them, as not a very good reminder, right? As a reminder that they failed at obeying God, basically. So about 16 years passes in there in history. And then Haggai appears on the scene and gives them this one message. It's time to finish rebuilding the temple. The message that we see here and that was pointed out to me because, well, I might be in this season. I need to maybe get this in, but I felt I needed to share it to you, is put things first. Where are our priorities? Where were the Jews' priorities? As you can see, Haggai pointed it out. They were too busy building their own mansions, right? Building their own mansions that they forgot about what they were going to do for God. Or maybe they didn't forget. Maybe they just didn't do it. I don't know which is worse. But it was a message of priority and put first things first. The temple was the center of worshiping God, and they did not fulfill what they were supposed to do. The temple represented the heart and soul of the Old Testament covenant. It was a part of what they worshiped. And we know God to be everywhere. Amen? But the temple was the place on earth where God dwelled in a special place. Amen? And so for the temple to lie there in ruins was neglect of worshiping our God. It was a testimony of misplaced priorities. It was a reminder that the Jews didn't do what God had asked them to do. It was a reminder always there of something that I was supposed to do, but I just didn't do it. That feeling inside that I'm supposed to do something, but I'm just not doing it. That, I guess you could call that guilt some places. That you know that you were supposed to do something, but you just didn't get it done. It was a message of priority. Put first things first. Haggai's message was pretty blunt. If we read that again, it's pretty blunt and to the point. Verse 6, you have plenty much, but harvest little. You drink, but you're still thirsty. You put clothes on, but you can't keep warm. Verse 4, why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? So it's a message of priorities. He pulled, you know, he didn't hold back. He didn't waste his words. He spoke like he was supposed to speak. The first message I think we can see here is, number one, is that we need to stop making excuses. First, Haggai confronted the excuses of the temple's lying in ruins. In verse 2, if we look at verse 2, it says, this is what the Lord of Heaven's people are saying. The people are saying. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. The people are saying. Right? So the Lord of Heavens isn't saying anything. He's saying something, but he's saying something that's like, if I were talking to Calvin, I would say, well, Nina says this. This is what the Lord is saying to Haggai. The people are saying this. The time has not come for the house to be rebuilt. So what the people were saying there is saying this. In my own eyes, it is not time to rebuild the temple. In my own eyes, it's time to work on myself. In my own eyes, I know I'm supposed to help build this temple and rebuild the center of worship and rebuild this place where God is going to dwell in a special sense on earth here. I know that's what I'm supposed to do, but I need to stop and work on myself and do all this stuff for me, build my house, plant my fields, do this and do that, while the worship sense is gone. The Lord of Heaven's army says, the people are saying, the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. So the people are saying, hey, I don't think it's time for that. Even though we know that the Lord said, go into this place, rebuild the temple. And they started it. So they knew they were supposed to do it. They intended to build God's house. They laid the foundation, but didn't get around to it. Right? I have that excuse sometimes. I'll get around to it. If we were going to ask them about it, like if we were going to ask the Jew who was there, and ask them about why they didn't build the temple, they'd probably say something like this, right? I'm all for building the temple. That's a great thing. That's a great cause. I'm all for it. Let's do it. Let's get on it. But God wants me to take care of something else first. Times are hard, and I know that God wants me to help you, but I got to take care of this first. There's a thing going around in some religious fashions where, well, let me pray about that first. I think I need to pray some more. Let me pray some more about that. I just didn't get a clear vision on that yet. God already told me about it, but I'm just not clear about it yet. We'll eventually get to it. We'll get to it. It's on our list. It's on my list. They made excuses. That's what it all comes down to. They made excuses. And sometimes I believe that I make excuses for things that I know should get done. And I'm sure I'm not the only one in that boat. And what I mean by that is I mean that there are things in our lives that we know God told us to do, and we just didn't do it because we made excuses on why not to do it. And I'm saying that because Haggai pointed out very simply, it says this, you hope for riches, but they were poor. You hope for things, but you didn't listen to me, so I blew it away. If we read that again in verse 9, it says, you hope for riches, a rich harvest, but they were poor. And when you brought your harvest home, I blew it away. Why? Because you left my house in ruin when I asked you to build it. I came to you, I told you, I led you out of this place, and I asked you, build this temple to me, build it up so we can worship and have this place, and I can dwell within you. But you didn't do it. It's always easy to make excuses when you don't want to obey God. I mean, I've been in that boat. I don't know who else is probably in that boat with me right now. I could probably think of a couple things that I know I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm just making excuses not to do it. And I'm not reaping the harvest of what I'm supposed to be doing. Amen? If God has something on your heart or God has told you already to do something, by all means, do it. Haggai tells us right here, if you don't do it, God is going to... Because God told you to do it. And we're making excuses not to do it. It goes along the lines of reaping and sowing, right? You reap what you sow. If they would have stopped and did what they were told and build the house of the Lord, then those crops and that harvest would have been great, I believe. I would truly believe. If they would have built what God asked them to build right away, at the moment they were supposed to do it, the first thing first, I truly believe that that area that they lived in would have been fantastic. Because God says, we know in the Bible, God says all over the place where if you give, you'll get, you sow, and you'll reap. It's all over the Word. We can always find rationale to not do something. I was at home today, and we recently made a mess of our house and changing rooms for kids, and there's stuff all over the place. And I made a rationale not to necessarily do a whole lot because I made an excuse that, oh, well, I'll probably put it in the wrong place and Nina will have to do double duty. I did. I said that to myself, so I just didn't do it. Even though I could have made the decision myself. I could have went through and put clothes away. It's all piled up, right? But I made a justification to myself that, oh, you know what? Nina's going to want to put that in a special place, probably in a special order, so I'm just not going to do it. Even though I know that being home in the summertime, it's part of my responsibility to keep up with some house stuff because I'm not at work and she's at work, right? That's being a part of a good partnership. There's a give and take, right? And so I just made an excuse not to do it so I could sit around and play on the computer, look at Craigslist for some things that we need, but we don't really need, but I thought we need. But anyway, we make excuses, and that's what I'm trying to get to. It's easy to make excuses. I don't want to get too deep and make you think about it, but my kids need me more now, and my kids need me, and I can't do it because my kids. I find that a lot with me is I might use my kids as an excuse. I can't do it because I got three kids at home. Well, the Lord quickens me and tells me, well, just bring them along. It's a good experience for them. And He's right. Just do it. Then I make excuses. No, I can't because I got a six-month-old and 5 months. Almost 5 months. Whatever. Time flies, right? Anyway, the first step to putting first things first is to admit our responsibility in doing things. That we have to take responsibility and take ownership for what we're supposed to do. Amen? I'm supposed to do something, so I need to take responsibility and do it. Amen? You're supposed to do something. I don't know what it is, but you're supposed to do something. It's your job to take responsibility and do it. It was the Jews' job to take responsibility and build the temple. They chose not to do it, and they reaped that. They didn't reap anything because they didn't do anything. So we have to first admit our responsibility and then do this second thing, which I think is a hard time for most of us because this word pride gets in the way, is that we have to stop being selfish. My notes here says, cease the selfishness. Now, being selfish is really close to making excuses because it's all about me or all about us. But Haggai here challenges the people's behavior. So I believe that if we put this in a context into our lives today, why are you living in luxurious houses while his house lies in ruins? And I believe that's a metaphor for today's world to say, why are you living in such a comfortable place when our world is in such a negative place? When people out there are dying and not hearing the word, why are we in a place of comfortability? Why is that way? And I believe that Haggai, that jumped out at me is that particular verse 4. Why are you living in luxury? I read this as this to me. It's why are you living in luxury while everyone else lives in death? Why am I living comfortably while everybody else is dying? Why am I living in riches and everybody is poor? And I'm talking about spiritually, but that's what I think. I think that I'm living in this spiritual richness when in actuality I might not be. So Haggai has this word. And I think we need to take a hard look at this. Haggai 1, verse 34. Or 3 through 4. Where am I at? Haggai 1, Where am I at? Let me find it. That's not right. I wrote down the wrong verse. We'll get back to that. I'll have to find it. It's in Haggai somewhere. We'll skip that one. I'll come back to that. Now, when Haggai's talking about luxurious houses and while his house lies in ruins, there's nothing wrong. I want to make a disclaimer. There's nothing wrong with living in a nice house. There's nothing wrong with having a nice house. You can have a nice house. The statement here that Haggai is making is not an attack on being rich or big houses. It's not an attack on that. What it's saying is that it's wrong to own a nice home while God's house lies in ruins. You follow what I'm saying? When God's camp lies in ruins and your camp lies in riches, then to be a good follower of our faith, then it would be our responsibility to help out God's camp. Therefore, we need to help rebuild God's camp, yes? So therefore, why it's wrong to be here, over here, saying, I'm living in riches over here, and they're just over there being poor, and boo-hoo to them and yay to me, when I should be doing what? Building, helping build God's house. That's what the attack is on. It's not on saying that's this. It's wrong to spend all your money on selfish needs while ignoring the things of God. When we know that there are needs in our brethren, and we are spending on excessive things, where is our responsibility to help out the brethren? That's what the attack on is here. Another way to put this is, what's wrong here, what Haggai is pointing out, is to spend one's time, one's best hours, one's talents, one's their best on selfish pursuits rather than using them for the things of God. Or knowing that you can be a part of God's structure with your talents and your gifts, but choosing to do it on your own pursuits, on your own things, and leave God's undone, as the Jews did here. They went about their own selfish pursuits in their own houses and clothes, and in today's world, it'd be like this. I bought my house, my cars, my dogs, my Gucci, my whatever, right? And I keep just purchasing these luxurious items, this luxury stuff. And I notice that the God's camp or the camp over here, the temple, the worship place, lies in ruins. That's kind of the same kind of thing. It's an indictment of misplaced priorities. It's a drifting away of God's agenda for our lives and for what we're supposed to be doing and pursuing your own agenda. It's easy to pursue our own agenda. I think we do this all the time. And it's easy to pursue our selfish desires because it's right here. It's right here. It's right in here. It's easy to say, oh, yeah, I need this, I want this, let's go get it, let's do this, let's do that. It's easy to do that because it's all right here. Sometimes I think that our own selfish desires are a little bit more real to us than what God desires for our lives. And so it's easy then to take our selfish desires over God's desires because it's more real to us. And I think Haggai points this out. He points this out and says, hey, look, I think you're all being a little bit too selfish. Because God's house lies in ruins over here. And all you got is all your stuff over here. I have in my notes, I said, we naturally in the world live for ourselves because we are a sinful people. This is what happened to the Jews. How many of you ever heard that song, Come Thou Fount to Every Blessing? Come Thou Fount to Every Blessing. There's a line in there. There's a line in this, and as I was writing this song came to my head because sometimes we play it in a little bit slower and worse time. And one of the verses, and it's a part of one of the, maybe the third or fourth verse, if you go look at it, the words in there, it says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. That's our selfish desire, prone to leave the God we love, prone to do our own selfish thing, prone to wander. But the good thing is that if we stay true to our God, the Holy Spirit will help us keep that in check. But here, the Jews here didn't do that. And they kept with their selfish desires. This is what happens when we don't, we wander away. We are prone to wander and follow our selfish desires because we don't, let's say the Jews, and we could put ourselves in there, because we don't persistently and consistently seek the Lord. I think it's easy to wander when I'm not speaking to somebody all the time. If I didn't see my wife all the time, it might be very easy for me to wander and talk to somebody else. And so if I'm not speaking with the Lord daily, if I'm not going to the Lord daily, if I'm not praying, I'm not seeking Him, I'm not persistently and consistently seeking God first, then my selfish desires get in the way. Or they're allowed to creep up now. And now I'm just like these Jews here. Now I'm putting me first. And not God first. Because I'm not persistently and consistently seeking God first, to put God first. The third thing then is this. Don't miss out on God's blessings. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of His kingdom of God and what? And all His righteousness, and all these things will be provided or added unto you." Amen? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen? And then all of these things will be added unto you. So therefore, that's a statement there. But here, if we look at Haggai, Haggai's saying the same thing. In verse 9, he says, "You hoped for riches, but because you didn't build my house, and you're busy building your own house, He blew the blessings away." Whew. As a consequence to their excuses, and as a consequence to our excuses and selfish living, just as the Jews here in Haggai, they experienced hardship. They experienced bad times. He says in there, we talked about, you planted much, but you harvest little. You eat, but you never have enough to be satisfied. You drink, but you're always thirsty. You put clothes on, but you never enough to be warm. The wage earner puts his wages into bags like it has a hole in it. They sowed plenty of seed, but there was a drought. If we read on, they had active lifestyles, but they were not experiencing satisfaction. They were laboring, but showing no profit. No matter how hard they worked, they seemed to be spinning their wheels. Over and over and over and over again, doing the same thing and never seeing something more. No matter how much money they made, they could not make enough. And we take all these things, we sometimes, not necessarily the people in this building right now, but the people that are in our lives are the same as the Jews here. And we should become the Haggai to them. We need to be the Haggai to them in their lives and point that out to them. Why? Because if they're living like the Jews, they're going to be spinning around in circles doing the same thing and same thing and same thing and never see the harvest. Because Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Put God first. Blessings in all of the Scripture, all of this, blessings come through obedience. So if we want to experience God's blessings, we must put Him first. And we need to take this message of Haggai, this message of the Lord, and take it to the streets. Just everything else, just like everything else, and take it to the people we know that are not doing God's work because they're missing out. Blessings come through obedience. I don't believe we do this enough, and I'm going to talk about it. Let's go to Haggai chapter 1, verse 5. The Lord of Heaven's armies says this twice. Twice in the Scripture, and within three Scriptures, he says it in 5, and he says the same thing in 7. And I believe this is very, very, very important for us to do daily. You need to evaluate ourselves. Verse 5 very simply says, this is what the Lord of heaven's army says. Look at what happens to you. Look at what's happening to you. Verse 7, look at what's happening to you. We have to evaluate ourselves. It's an evaluation of ourselves. I believe that every morning when you wake up in the morning, take a good look in the mirror as you're brushing your teeth or however you do your morning routine and evaluate yourself. What did I do yesterday that I could change today? What did I already do this morning that I could change the rest of the day? Why? Because I said. The word says right here, evaluate yourselves. It's a good thing. Teachers give tests to evaluate their students' learning. Employers hold job interviews to understand what's happening, who they're going to hire. A scholar, some people would say, anybody heard of Socrates? There's a quote he said, and I have this on my computer at school, and it says, the unexamined life is not worth living. I believe the scripture tells us to examine ourselves. We have to be able to examine ourselves and see where we're at to know if we have to change or not. To align ourselves with the word, we have to always evaluate ourselves, always assess where we're at. If we don't, then we're never going to change. If we don't evaluate ourselves, we will never change. We will keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Each day we need to come and spend time and evaluate ourselves, how we're using our money, how we're using our talents, how we're using what God gave us, and evaluate ourselves. Am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I putting God first in everything that I do? If God is not first, if God is not first, who made him second? If God is not first in my life, who made him second? Nina? Nina, you made God second in my life. No, we did. I did. If God's not first, then I, or you, removed him from that place. We have to evaluate ourselves. I think that the failure to evaluate ourselves today results in major consequences tomorrow. And I believe that Haggai points that out here. The failure of the Jews to evaluate themselves on a daily basis on what they should have been doing allowed this string of things to happen. Verse 8. Go up to the hills, bring down lumber, and build the house. Then I will be pleased with it and will be glorified, says the Lord. In all of life, there's time to act, there's time to talk, there's time to consider things to do, and then there's time to do things. We all know the Ecclesiastes verse. It's a song as well, right? There's a time for this, a time for that, a time for, yeah. But those who put God first are up and doing the right things. Those who put God first are doing the right things. They're spending time with God daily. They're serving people. They're honoring him with their time, their talents, their financial resources. But for the Jews living in Jerusalem, it meant cutting down trees to build God's house. That's how they were activated. Why should the temple be built? Haggai very simply points that out. Why should they build a temple? So that God can be glorified. Why should they have done what they were supposed to do? So God can get the glory. Why were they supposed to build a temple? Because God brought them out of bondage, brought them out of this bad place, and brought them to this good place. And so God wanted them to build a temple so they could glorify God. But when God is not first, we don't care about his glory. When we don't put God first, we don't really care about God. When we put God first, his glory is on our minds. Everything we think, everything we say, everything we do honors and gives him credit. Amen? Whatever your occupation is, whatever you do, the chief business, number one, for a Christian is to give glory to God. That's what we do. The first thing, no matter what you do in occupation or what, you know, whatnot, most of these Jews weren't temple workers. They were everyday people trying to make ends meet, right? But their job was to put God first in everything that they did. And so that does not change. We need to put God first in all that we do. Then we activate in the right things. Amen? We need to get active in the right things, which means we've got to glorify God, number one. Number two, then, we have to give God the glory. And when we do that, we activate in the right things, in the right way, in the right things. We give glory to God for what He does for us and what He is going to do for us. Then God blesses us. Amen? Then God blesses us. Amen. So the story of Haggai and the Jews touches a little bit deeper subject. And that's we need to look at ourselves. We need to look at our priorities. We need to understand that God works in certain ways. He wants our obedience. And in our obedience, we get the blessing. In our obedience, we get the harvest. In our obedience, in truly worshiping God, in truly glorifying God, in truly understanding the will of God for your life and walking in it, there is where the blessings lie. Amen? There is where you'll get this and you'll have that and you'll have God will provide for you. Press down. What does the word say? Press down. Shaken together and running over. Overflowing. But it's found in obedience. It's found in doing and putting God first. Amen? Amen? The word of the Lord, verse 8, I just want to read this as the last thing. It says, "Now go up in the hills, bring down timber, and rebuild my house. Then I will take pleasure in it and be honored." So we need to go out, do those things, put God first. Put God first in talking to your neighbor. Put God first in doing things around your house. Put God first at your job. Put God first in everything that you do. Build His house where you're at. Then I will take pleasure in it and be honored. We've got to put God first. Put our priorities straight. Put God first. And then we will live fully in the blessings. Fully in all those things that we talk about that God will give to us. Pressed down. Shaken around. Overflowing. But it's in the obedience, putting God first. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's just stand in and honor the Lord. And Father God, I just thank You for Your word tonight. I thank You for the understanding that You come first in our lives, Lord. We thank You, Father God, for all that You do in our lives, and we thank You for what You're doing in the future in our lives, for tomorrow, for tonight, for tomorrow, the next week. And Father, I just ask that You place inside the hearts of the people that tonight this word of obedience, this word of priorities. And Father, I pray that it just not be a word that's in and out. Father, I pray that it's in and it sticks. Oh, Lord, thank You. Thank You for what You have. Thank You for Your right place. Yes, Lord, we thank You. Father, I pray for all these people right now. I pray for everyone in this building, Father, that You are put first in their lives. That the priorities are set straight, Lord. I thank You. And as they go to their job, and as they go to work, as they go to their family, they are putting God first in their words and their thoughts and their actions. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that we can be so assured of Your word, that we can stand on Your promises, that we can stand on Your firm foundation, and know that when we obey, You are there. And we know that if we follow after You, we will find. And we seek You, we will find You. And we truly commit to You, and we persistently and consistently seek You, we will find You. And there we will find our place, and we'll find our glory, and we'll find Your will for our lives. Thank You, Jesus. Glory to You, God. Thank You, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Oh, I'll do it. All right, just wanted to announce one more time that this Sunday night we will be the first second Sunday that we are going to be changing up our routine a little bit. This Sunday night we're going to be starting our prayer walking. We're going to take it to the streets. And so instead of meeting here at the church at 6, we're going to meet here at 6:30, and then we're just going to be led and go where the Lord directs us, and we're really excited. So we're going to be doing that from now on our second and fourth Sunday services. We're going to go out, we're going to be walking and praying for Douglas and for the people, and just busting open the windows of heaven, and it's going to be awesome. All right. Yeah. All right. So we'll see you guys Sunday. You guys have an awesome week and be blessed. Oh, Saturday. Sorry. Saturday, this Saturday, every Saturday, we are starting our VBS prep from 9 to noon here at the church. So if anybody is available, we will be here from this Saturday until VBS. Every Saturday we'll meet here from 9 to noon. If you're driving around town and you see any medium or large size cardboard boxes, snag them up, bring them to the church, shove them through the mail slot. Just kidding, they won't fit. But bring them to the church, and we're looking for medium and large size cardboard boxes. So if you see any, grab them. All right, have an awesome weekend. Hopefully see you Saturday and Sunday. Where am
I? I just want to give glory to God because Monday, I had prayer before for my spine because last year in September, I picked up a heavy luggage into my Durango, and I heard click, and I felt it right in the middle of my spine. And from then on, every day, every night, I would feel tingling and numbness from my neck down, from my shoulders to my hands and all my body and my legs to my feet, and it would just like numb me. And last week, Friday, I went to the library. I was using my right hand, and I couldn't, it just like paralyzed, and it was from the same feeling. So Monday, I thought, that had never happened before. You know, I'm really having problems with this. And then I couldn't sleep at nights because the doctor gave me muscle relaxants, but I wasn't taking them. I would take sometimes half of it. Monday, when I came to prayer, God told me, have them lay hands on you. Have them pray for you. And before, I had prayer for that many times, but I hadn't been healed. And Monday, I was healed. Monday, praise God. I give all the glory to God. I just feel so much joy because I feel so good in my back. And, you know, and it had been since September I was going through that. And I kept seeing in my mind a finger going like that, like trying to pull out the nerve or pinch nerve, whatever it was. But anyway, God spoke to me that morning, have them pray for you, lay hands on you. He told me. I heard him, and then I said, I asked for prayer. And that morning I was healed. Thank God. Thank God. I praise God.
All right, amen. Yes, God is good. Amen. Amen. We'll see you guys. Have a good week. Love you.